welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back, and it is now or never, and that debt is fraud. There's a lot of these little things I remind you at the beginning of the show, and to get through what I need to do, I'm just going to kind of hit these things as bullets. Now, I will try to find time down the road to explain the now or never. It is now or never, folks. We're in a constitutional crisis. We need you to actually engage your government. We need to actually have the people take back their self-governing system. They actually have the authority and the power right now to do this. You've never lost it, folks. The debt is fraud. We could easily dive into that. And as we do this so many times, I can't impress upon you, when you start realizing what is constitutional, what is a constitution, you'll realize that that entire debt clock is fraud. Now, as we talk about unfunded liability and Social Security, we'll dive into that too. Anything you're interested in, let me know, because we're going to be moving content specifically through Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, and I'm going to be covering topics and content that is more of a, for me, than it would be to share source documents and so forth. And I'll explain that in the upcoming curriculum for 2025. And so I'm hoping that you, the fact is, and actually let me just say this, because I may forget, but Merry Christmas and Happy New Year if I do forget. I am humbled at the growth of the show and the growth of interest, and I am here to serve. I find that it's interesting how many of the people that are working and that I mentor, they've kind of tapered off listening to the show instead of, you know, because they, excuse me, instead of listening to the show, they have direct questions and we talk about those things that are piquing their interest. Okay, that's great. But that doesn't mean that what we're covering on this show is any less relevant. And so I kind of remind them in the mentoring calls, hey, you should be listening. But anyway, all that put aside, because we cover a lot of content. I know that, you know, as we go through all of this stuff, we're reading so many documents, pages and pages and pages. By the time we're done, we're in the hundreds of pages at the end of the year. And we're helping you avoid having to necessarily read them. We implore you to read. We implore you to read. But we can't, it's the horse water thing, right? And as I point out with the groups that I mentor, because a lot of people say, well, maybe there's a faster way we can do this. But everybody concedes with very little pushback or argument that if we as a group do not read these very specific documents so that we see them with our own eyes and we confirm that this is really what Madison said, this is really what Jefferson said, that gets embossed in your mind, in your heart. And it changes how you see things. When you have learned it, it's one thing if you've heard it, and it's one thing if you regurgitate it to somebody else, but it means something different to once it gets embossed, because now you become a statesman. You can actually start talking about these things, and you can actually create better context. I mean, I expect that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be doing this much better than I. And that's great. You know, if life was an individual race, then mankind and society would be lost. It's not. It's not an individual race. And as a matter of fact, the metaphor I used to give the guys or gals that worked for me life long ago, it came up a few times. And what really highlights is this one gentleman. And he was just blown away that I was promoting him to a level that was above me. And I said, when we're all scaling the wall, there comes a time when you realize as the leader, you can't get to that top notch yourself, that you have to help somebody else get up there to get the team higher onto the cliff and to actually overcome the obstacle. You have to do what's necessary. You don't, you know, you don't lead and be the guy that takes the credit for everything. That's what leaders do. You share, you empower, you delegate, empower, and let people have their credit as well as their as well as their time at the wheel. Anyway, so one of the things I also want to say, as we kind of covering the debt is fraud and all these other things, please invoke your spiritual toolbox, your spiritual voice to appeal to heaven, and, you know, either join with Loudoun Liberty, create your own, but please use what you believe. I mean, regardless whether you're Christian or what, everybody, most faiths have a toolbox with meditation or what have you, and a lot of them have something very similar as the power of prayer. So anyway, please make the appeal to heaven so that we can actually get his help, because we can't do it without his help. We have to acknowledge that. Benjamin Franklin acknowledged that. Now, the last little line, and I'm not going to repeat this tomorrow, is that your campaign begins today. The day after the election is when you need to be starting your campaign. And it's not a campaign where you pay money and advertise and say, vote for me. What it is this is a campaign over the people that are in office and proving to the people of America in your county, your community, whatever, that the person that is sitting in that position is not prepared, they're not doing their job, or actually, you can help them actually find the fact that they are doing their job, and you can work with that person to actually go above that person to the state legislature, up to Congress. Folks, as we start developing and nurturing statesmen and leaders, we're going to have a problem finding a good spot for all of them. But the cream always rises to the top. But we have to stop allowing demagogues and people that want to buy your loyalty to say, if you put me in power, I'm going to give you things like healthcare, phones, the Obama phones and Obamacare. Anyway, because that's unconstitutional. No one in public service under this Constitution has that authority to do that. And if they're running a campaign to say they're doing that and then they execute it, they should be removed. And as far as I'm concerned, this is treason. They're actually running an insurrection against the Constitution by doing what they're doing. Yes, treason, which means that the ultimate the ultimate penalty would be, you know, pretty severe. Now, I'm not an advocate in stoning, hanging, or what have you. I believe that we need to start deporting every single one of these people after they've stripped of everything. The shirt's on their back, they're gone. That's what they get. That's all they get. But anyway, one of the other things I wanted to kind of pay attention to, because I want to throw this out here for Cynthia. She's been on the phone, or she's been on the phone. We actually did a phone interview. But she's been on the show. We need to get her back. And I would love to actually interview somebody from archive.com. Because they're the ones that actually got hit. They're the ones where there was these attempts of trying to scrub their data. Some of this stuff, I think, is from the government. I have noticed that access on archive.com to sites like TarFox, the NASA TarFox page, it's being scrubbed. And getting access to it is getting difficult. And so we'd like to actually talk to them, because we need you to understand, folks. They're erasing the data that proves what they have been doing and what they did. See, they used to brag about TarFox, and TarFox was this great study that University of Washington and NASA was doing. So, and this is the genesis behind chemtrails. Okay? So They're deliberately scrubbing the internet. And I only have technically 7 days left of airtime, today included. So this is why we're going to kind of not do the daily things on those days where I really need to impress upon you, you know, a certain message, such as the Christmas message, which we will start tomorrow. Anyway, as you know, we've been kind of going into the, I don't want to call it the criticism of Trump. It's not really. What we're trying to do is we're trying to help give you the insights of what a real constitutional president can do. America deserves a constitutional president. But right now, because we're seeking vengeance and we're seeking, you know, payback, what have you, we're allowing our vision to be clouded. What does America really need to move forward to become great once and for all? Not one, again. Again does not make it permanent. Again only makes it good for a certain class of people. We need to make America great once and for all people. Whether they want to be taken care of or not, that's okay. If they want to be taken care of, we'll allow them to go to the nation and state of their choice so that they can be taken care of. And watch those nations collapse as everybody starts abandoning these concepts of statism and actually starts really embracing the concept of self-governing and self-reliance, that a nation that of people that are self-reliant, not asking government to do anything for them, other than those fundamental services that only government can bring, where you can't have real, true competition. I mean, I want to be clear here, folks. You can't have competition in water. You can't have competition in, let's say, electricity or phone lines and those types of things. Now, wireless, you kind of have competition, but do you really? Because everybody's using those same cell towers, right? You don't have your own cell towers. You're not putting up your own, and they're not having only theirs. They're all shared. And we're all being played while they jack up our prices and so forth, because it's a profit model. Same thing with your internet and your cable TV, which is, you know, the same provider. Oh, and you know what? If you have internet, you can save some of your some of your airtime and data if you actually use your home internet. They want you to have wireless crap in your home. Folks, the smartest thing you could do is to get off of wireless, especially for your computing. It's one thing to be wireless in just communicating, but to do your computing and everything, you have walked right into their arms so that they can keep track of you and they know exactly what you're doing, thinking, and so forth. And for a patriot, that's at the core of, you know, violating our most precious rights. We are to be secure in our persons and our effects from government and or corporations. Believe it or not, folks, when we talk corporations, corporations are government. They're hand in hand, gland in gland, selling out your soul. Anyway, so let me get focused on Trump, because we kind of talked about the utilization. We ended up with the utilization of the state's utilization of the militia, and how they could actually start basically going after HAARP, going after all of these weaponized tools and technology that the government has developed, do weapons and so forth. Any of those things that are currently in and are being deployed out of states, the states will have the power to shut those down, because they're taking back the militia. They're taking back any form of military actions of homeland defense, other than strategic stuff. And this is where the states really need to sit down and determine what is strategic. Okay? So as we look at what is strategic, do weapons, that's not something that needs to be in Nebraska. Do weapons or HAARP is not something that needs to be in the homeland. And the real question is, are we really crossing lines? Are we really doing those types of things where we want to actually inflict that kind of harm? using storms to actually hurt all things and people, to just inflict the type of casualties that a massive hurricane could do? And isn't it interesting that they've really focused? I mean, where in the world have massive hurricanes been hitting lately? And who is the one that's developed the technology of being able to create and intensify these storms? It's our American government. Don't tell me they're not waging war on us. And they're sitting back laughing and going, oh, look at what we did there. And let's exploit this crisis by taking the land from the people. Folks, can't you see? Can't you just see what they're doing? Because they have full control, not constitutional control, but they have taken control because we've allowed this. If you've ever seen The Lord of the Rings, and you've ever seen that point in time when Gandalf goes into Rohan, to the King Rohan, who is under a spell. He's got cobwebs in his eyes. This guy is so far gone that you look like he's 1 foot in the grave. He's about ready to fall in. And so when you actually look at what happens when Gandalf breaks the spell by hitting him with his staff, just clonks it on the head, says, "Wake up." And instantly, all of the cobwebs, his hair turns, you know, a golden brown, and he looks like a much younger, stronger man. I mean, he is literally transformed into an ill, decrepit man that's about to die into a very strong man in the peak of his capabilities as a man. And this is when he finally wakes up and realizes that Wormtongue, a little stooge for an evil wizard, was basically keeping him in the spell so that he would surrender his kingdom. And finally, he started fighting back for his kingdom, took it back. But we're under that spell. Our state legislatures, the American people, everybody is under this spell. It's this huge evil web of all of the things that they've been doing because of our illiteracy on the Constitution. When we place an understanding, when you and I place, this is why we read the Constitution every year. We go through it line by line. And actually, I don't do a good job of remembering and telling you, oh, this line's being violated. Folks, you really need to use both color-coded constitutions. And I'm going to try to promise that over the next couple of weeks, I will try to finish the enumerated color-coded constitution so you have a nice clean copy of it. And what we're going to do is we'll cut out all of the non-essential amendments. And we'll actually keep the essential amendments in, those that have passed, including the original 13th Amendment. So you're going to see 28 amendments, but you're not going to see the ones that never passed and those types of things. But what we want you to do is we want you to read the Constitution through those documents so that you can see this is being violated. When we talk about the Electoral College, you're going to realize that the Electoral College is the way it's being instituted is a complete violation of the Constitution. We are not selecting our president in accordance with the Constitution, period. And we need to fix that. There's a lot of things, and we have all the power to fix all of these things. We could actually get to a point where we never have a billionaire president or a silver spoon president like the Bushes or the Clintons and so forth, that we don't have these. When I say Clinton wasn't actually a silver spoon. Obama and Clinton were Rhodes babies. They were basically globalists that were prepared through their education and through outreach and so forth. They were prepared to basically do the bidding for the globalists. And they did, and they were completely on board. I mean, these people are evil. People are, and I hate to be judging. You know, every person should be able to, at any point in time, basically repent and turn from their sins, right? But I do not see these men. These men are going to the grave with their secrets. And so the best thing we can do is actually deport them all. Strip them, deport them, and then if they repent then in those nations and come to Christ, that'd be great. At least we're offering them the time with what they have left of their life to get straight with God. Wouldn't it be nice if we all had that opportunity? Anyway, and we all do, technically, folks. We still do. Every day that we're still alive, we have that opportunity if we haven't already. So count your blessings, right? Count your blessings. So what needs to happen is, because Congress has the purse strings and the legislative powers, basically Trump needs to place the political pressure on Congress to undo all of the unconstitutional acts and laws regarding the militia, as well as the enforcement of federal laws that exist. What that means is that you have to realize that they've created all sorts of enforcement agencies that directly violate the Constitution, because in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, where the powers are, the only entity that is identified to have the power to execute the laws of the Union is your militia. What does execute the laws? If it's a legitimate federal law, it can only be executed by the militia. No other law can be actually executed within a state. Do you understand what he just said? No other law that is federal, that is not legitimate, if it's legitimate, it can only be enforced by the militia. If it is not legitimate, it cannot be enforced in your state. So, if there is an enforcement entity, like forest rangers, U.S. forest rangers, is that legitimate? Are they your militia? No, they're federally funded. It's a federal position. It's a federal job. Because why? The federal government has come in and they've unconstitutionally seized land and created this thing called the National Forest. And they've created this forest ranger that is an enforcer of their laws and their agenda. See, this is the precise reason why we read the ratification base, because in Virginia, they identified how if you allowed the king or government to possess land and to use it the way they want to, they can actually use it as a weapon against the people. And that's what they've been doing. So I've got 2 minutes. So what I want to do is just basically help you understand, and we'll come back to this when we come back, but help you understand that the militia is the only constitutional entity. There is not one amendment. If you read the last line of many of the amendments after the Bill of Rights, you'll find that Congress shall have let me pull it up real quick, because I've got the color-coded Constitution, because that's what I use all the time. And at the end of every line, you'll say, the Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. What that means is that they have the ability to create laws to enforce this amendment. In other words, when you look at this amendment, there are some very specific things that Congress is calling out that the states can't do, and that they will have the ability to legislate ways of executing those laws. Ergo, once they create that legislation, then they call upon, and if necessary, they federalize the militia to execute them if the states are not willing to execute them on their own by using the militia or by the people just cooperating. Because if the state legislatures create the law, then they should be using the state militia to actually execute those. If it is constitutional, it ripples down. If it is unconstitutional, it is incapable of permeating into the Union. Whether we legitimately permeate it or not, it's not capable of permeating. We just allow it to happen. It is truly not permeated legitimately. That's the whole point. It's a stain that can be actually removed very quickly. It is just a surface scratch. As that great knight in the Holy in the Search of the Holy Grail, or the Holy Grail by Monty Python, it is just but a flesh wound. It is, just a scratch. Because these things won't kill us. We can actually undo all of these things. So when we come back, I'll dive back into the focus for Trump. And then we're going to cover the curriculum for the year. So please stay tuned. You want to hear about this new curriculum we've got. You're going to love it. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me get back to this political pressure, because I just kind of mentioned this, right? That Trump needs to place political pressure on Congress to undo these unconstitutional acts and so forth regarding the militia, and caveating regarding federal execution of the laws. The current federal execution by mercenaries is unconstitutional. What is a mercenary? A mercenary is a professional person that's hired to actually become a permanent law enforcer, a law enforcement officer over a very specific thing. Now, if we're going to have a society that is going to have law enforcement, and professional law enforcement, we either have to amend the Constitution to allow them to do that, or we, because it is a self-governing, self-enforcing system, we have to take that responsibility on. It is for us to do. I tell you, folks, when you read the Constitution, the Constitution may create powers for and roles, responsibilities, property, and those types of things, enumerating those things in the Constitution. It also co-enumerates the responsibilities to the states and to the people. In other words, when they mention the militia, that means you and I. That means the states, or an organization at the state level of you and I. So it is not just, enforcement. We need to really, I'm telling you, folks, as we start really becoming more and more littered on this, we will be far less argumentative and far less scattered on this. We'll start understanding the beauty of this system. Do we really need to have that much law enforcement? Do we need to actually improve our education system and help everybody understand what a U.S. citizen... We do not teach these concepts of the responsibilities of a citizenship. As far as I'm concerned, this is one of the things the states really need to provide in clarity when they initiate republic review, what a U.S. citizen is. Going back into the original acts and actually building off of those and providing a clear definition for Congress as to a U.S. citizen must at all times be in support of that Constitution if they ideologically or socially decide to actually rebel against the Constitution, then they need to be advised that they will be stripped, or they will be stripped, if the rebellion is that serious, then they will be quickly stripped of their citizenship. Just because you're born in this nation doesn't mean that you... This is, let me just clarify something, because this is the antithesis of the sovereign citizen paradigm. They believe they have to buy into this. No, they actually have to be a U.S. citizen, and they have these responsibilities of supporting the Constitution. If they feel that they, you know, don't want to do that, then they will be stripped. Your citizenship is not necessarily an entitlement. It is a burden. It is a responsibility. And so We have failed to teach this. This is why everybody thinks, and most of the citizens and general assemblies and so forth, they have a democratic paradigm in what they're looking at. Oh, well, every person has to buy into, become a part of this. No. No, you don't buy into it. You either support it, and the only way you can actually get the Constitution off of us and changing our citizenship and creating the status government is by amending the Constitution. You got to remember that this was put in place years and years and years ago as a protector from anybody coming along and changing things to, you know, suit them as the way they wanted to implement government. It protected us from all of this. And anybody that's out there basically going down the path of, you know, claiming that all this unconstitutional government is actually legitimate and that we need to get out from underneath it, then those people are absolutely creating a rebellion against the Constitution. How? Because they're actually helping and supporting that this is a legitimate government. The positions are legitimate. Who is filling them and what they are doing is not. And I'm telling you, folks, over, I would like to say 80% of all the public servants that go into office legitimately do not understand, and they get told exactly what they need to do because they're so illiterate on all of this, and they fail to really, because they buy into this living constitution. They buy into this evolution of statism and communism in America. So when we really, when we're spelling this out, then the importance of a U.S. citizen and their role in supporting the Constitution and defending it against enemies, foreign and domestic, takes on a new light. So, in the process, Trump needs to get the states to understand the shift and submit their requisite financial requirements to Congress. Why? Because I already told you, Congress controls the purse. And so the states need to actually submit these constitutional requirements to say, look, you now have to fully, you know, support us to fully reconstitute our militia structure throughout the state and throughout the counties. The structure that we need to have, because we're no longer funding all of these municipal or all of these police forces. We're going to be putting the enforcement of the supreme laws of the land from the federal and the state laws into practice, and the county laws, more specifically the counties, because we want to limit the criminal jurisdiction that the state has, that was brilliance by the divine hand of providence to only allow the federal government the criminal jurisdiction over treason, over the counterfeiting of the currencies, and then over the laws committed against the crimes of nations, or crimes committed against the laws of nations, I'm sorry, and the violation of, you know, creating felonies and misdemeanors and those types of acts on the high seas. In other words, those are the only four crimes the federal government actually has jurisdiction over. They're the only ones that they can arrest you and try you for and define what that is. Those are the only crimes. They don't have a crime for lying and arresting you and basically holding you in jail. There's nothing in the Constitution that says the people cannot lie to Congress. If they can lie to you, then you can lie to them. Same thing with the FBI. The FBI itself is a mercenary force. The militia needs to replace it. So all the good people in the FBI, they'll have great opportunities to find and shift their skills into the states. But many of these skills will probably be shifted as well, because as we start moving down this path of self-governing, our behavior is going to only get better and better and better. And we'll actually be able to start shedding more and more enforcement people, a part of the county and state, to where we'll actually become an optimum society once again. where people are actually law-abiding. Why? Because they're enlightened. An enlightened person is disciplined. An enlightened person doesn't go off and do things. They just don't get drunk. They'll never put, you know, they'll never hold a jar or a bottle or a glass of alcohol to where they inebriate themselves to actually, you know, create harm to anybody. So, in other words, we have a lot of work to do to help those who are sick, not with germs or those types of things, but with the emotions, because we have to heal in every facet of this nation. And the only way that can come is by making the appeal to heaven. I think people start realizing, you know, what a blessing it is to be able to have this opportunity to be self-actualized, that every nation of the world will be able to participate in this self-actualized, self-governing system of liberty, to where we don't need to have all of the criminal enforcement agencies out there. And that when somebody finally snaps, when somebody finally loses it for whatever purpose, then those will be absolute aberrations instead of the common day event. Like school shootings and mean, heartless crimes committed against each other, all of these evils in our society, this is because we lack discipline. So, as the states start creating these requisites to Congress to fully reconstitute the militia structure throughout the state as well as the county, their principal law enforcement of the entire populace, employing in all training and supporting a rotational concept, will actually shift. In other words, as we start employing everybody to understand what the laws are and how we're to enforce them, many of those laws will start actually, you know, being, they'll still stay on the books, but we won't need to enforce them anymore. We won't need to, you know, actually go after somebody to basically say, you don't have a right to denigrate a person because of their race or because of their, and this will be done at the state level. The federal government doesn't have these authorities. I implore any state to actually create a more civil environment without having to create, you know, this huge criminal law and those types of things. I mean, just imagine the guy that actually speeds, you know, and he does reckless driving, and it's truly reckless. I mean, speeding in a very crowded freeway system just because they're racing, kids that are racing, you take away their driver's license. And if that doesn't do it and they get caught again behind the wheel during their 1 or 2 years of not being able to drive, we got to stop fining people and saying, okay, well, as long as you can pay, well, you can get away with it. No. If the spirit is safety, then we have to focus on safe, making the road safe, not creating revenue for the government. Anyway. And as we start exploring these things, I don't mean to dive and hold into this, but as we start exploring these things, we're actually going to start realizing and unveiling, you know, what a true blessing it is that we have the system that we have. Because Congress has the purse strings and legislative powers, Trump needs to actually place the political pressure on Congress to undo all of these unconstitutional acts and laws regarding the militia. And so as we basically go down this, those members of Congress who refuse to support the Constitution, not the annotated Constitution, but the legitimate, true Constitution, then they must be aware that their service requires their undaunted support for that original Constitution, or they will be removed. And thus the political pressure being placed upon Congress is simple and twofold. First, Congress must actualize Section 3 themselves in the 14th Amendment and actually create the legislative power. Remember, I just read to you out of the color-coded Constitution that Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation, and when they came to Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, they never did it. They never created the snap-your-finger law that says as soon as somebody violates their oath of office, they're gone. That, if you understand, folks, if everybody understood what Section 3 stated, now Congress is going to try to pass laws to actually undo that. But they can't, because that is an amendment to the Constitution, which would require an amendment to water it down. I'm telling you, when you look at the radical Republicans and how the 14th Amendment is this evil addition, Section 3 should actually be shining like a beacon to everybody, how this instills discipline in our public service. And it immediately cleanses our government from any ill will or malfeasance or just bad behavior, bad political behavior by our public servants. So as we dive into this concept of this twofold, first, Congress will actualize the third section, or Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. They'll actually have to place the language that as soon as somebody articulates the point of how your action has violated the Constitution, whether you're a congressional member or whether you're a judge, a federal judge, it doesn't matter. Everybody except for the president and the vice president, they are to be impeached. Section 3 is null of them, the two executives. Everybody else that takes it, that puts their arm to the square, in other words, they'll have to create the law that says anybody that puts their arm to the square, if you've been petitioned, and the petition is clearly and accurately points out that you voted for something, you had actually, and they accurately place that the what has been done by the public servant is a violation, that public servant is to immediately be step down, turn in their keys, everything else, they're gone. They're out of office. Then, if they want to challenge the petition, if they want to challenge the charge, they have to go back to their county legislative district. And actually, if we're actually running the way we're supposed to, and we actually have 30,000, one person representing 30,000 citizens, then folks, you'll actually, over half of America, actually more than that, I'd have to go into the numbers, but we got about 1,000 counties that have less than 30,000. So in other words, some of the real rural areas, you may have 2, 3, 4 counties, but they're going to be very small populated. But when we look at the majority of the United States, over 2,000 of the counties have 30,000 or more, which means that every county should actually have an active grand jury, a common law grand jury, where we have an active body of citizens determining whether that person has violated their oath or not. And if it gets discovered that the jury is absolutely, you know, corrupted and they're allowing violations to occur, because every, you know, it becomes a slam dunk, folks. When you realize whether something, I mean, it's like DNA under somebody's nails, in a fatal fight for their lives in trying to defend themselves. And that DNA is about as good as a conviction of who was actually your assailant that killed you. Almost 99% of the time, that is that solid. Now, let's remember, too, that our system is designed to ensure that only the guilty go to jail. This is why we want to make sure that there is this process that allows this 1% or 2% that may have been, you know, wrongly accused of violating their oath, that they can actually reobtain that and then be reseated. But here's the thing. They only have the time that is allowed to for the governor to come up with a replacement. Now, usually it takes about a month or two for a governor to come up with a replacement for Congress, the Senate, or the House. A month or two. So it behooves that individual that's been removed to, you know, beat feet down to their county to that common law grand jury. And it behooves everybody to restore common law grand juries to actually be able to have a true power of the people in ensuring that the Constitution is being followed. This creates the checks and balances that this amplifies those checks and balances that were already created in the Constitution simply by invoking Section 3 of the 14th Amendment and creating that law. Second, Okay, second thing. First, Congress has to actualize it. Second, Congress must then shift the unconstitutional execution of federal laws back to the constitutional entity, i.e. the militia, period. And so it goes back to the states and the counties, period. No other mechanism, no other way of doing this. And so even though this will not shut down the unconstitutional departments, in other words, they're going to basically start funding this. And what we'll have is we're going to have these existing enforcement agencies that actually exist. And why do they exist? Because these unconstitutional vestiges, these departments, agencies, and offices that have been created were then given the an additional unconstitutional power of enforcement. Their creation was unconstitutional, and their enforcement is equally unconstitutional. So the president can actually stop the enforcements. Why? Because he is the commander-in-chief in executing the laws and must faithfully do so in accordance to the Constitution. So he can basically say, we're stopping the enforcements. So all of these departments must be shut down, and the unconstitutional departments, agencies, and offices, not the departments, I should say, the enforcement of these unconstitutional departments, agencies, and offices will actually create this shift. So there's going to be a lot of agents, there's going to be ATF, all these different folks that are going to be going, well, what am I going to do? Well, as this moves away from the federal government, where does it go, folks? It goes straight to the states. Now, many of the states will probably want to maintain some kind of draconian government, hopefully not, because I'm going to tell you, at this point in time, as we're starting to move everything back, the states are already reconfiguring themselves. What does that mean? That the states, by the counties are probably already conducting constitutional conventions to rewrite their state constitution, or they've already done it. Many of the states will already be reconfigured and ready to receive so that these folks can actually either go into a bureaucratic level at the state or they'll come into the county level, as long as these are really needed and required positions. To tell you, the people that I really feel for are the social engineers, the social manipulators, the influencers, and those types of things, because there's really no place in our society for people that are manipulating and engineering outcomes out of people. It's one thing to educate, empower, and elevate and basically enlighten society. But it's another thing to have people, you know, rubbing their hands and stirring a cauldron and, you know, invoking these principles and things, you know, false lies and deceit into the minds of the people to get them to behave a certain way. So as we start moving down this path of basically dismantling the enforcement agency, this is going to also beg the question in getting the states to actually step in and finish the job by directing all of these, basically conducting republic review. This is one way that the president can actually invoke republic review. If you don't know what Republic Review is and what it means and all of that, because that's right there on the homepage of Reclaiming the Republic, the argument for it, and that's probably 8 years old. It took me a while because of the wrestling and the fighting I had with the John Birch Society to basically lay out what Republic Review was. Now we've got it. Now it needs to be actually updated to really invoke things to the county level, not just state, to the county level. I know it's a state level for the federal, but really when it comes to the state level, it really goes to the county. So as we look at this, every role, responsibility, power, and property must be eliminated and dismantled, and that job has to be done by the states. The president doesn't have that job. He doesn't have the job. He has the job of enforcing the laws and say, I can't use these agencies. They're unconstitutional. That's one thing. But to say these agencies can't exist, he doesn't have that authority. Only the states have that authority. And only the states can come in and say, look, we never authorized this Department of Interior. We never authorized, just like Madison said with the Department of Transportation, that those powers don't exist. So the states at any point in time can come along and say, hey, you've never been delegated these powers to do these things with the Department of Housing, the Department of Labor. All of these bureaucracies of social engineering have to go away. And we demand that you actually, in the process, literally state that these powers that are not delegated to the federal government will never be ceded again without an amendment to the Constitution. Never. Because Madison said you have to amend the Constitution. Not just Madison, all of the framers during the ratification debates. And unfortunately, I did not get a chance to dive into the coming curriculum that we want to talk about. What I want to do is go through the year in review. What did we do this past year? And how are we going to improve so that you become smarter, you get more engaged? Because we've already created the academic source document for the academic source documents for you to read. Actually, before I sever, the next time I cover, because it won't be this, the remainder of the year, I will not talk about the Trump, what Trump needs to do, or constitutional presence. So the next time I cover this, we're actually going to take on the establishment of the constitutional state oversight. In other words, what we want to do is help explore the responsibility of the state's constitutional oversight over the intelligence community. Because if everything is not serving the union, the states, then we really need to evaluate it. And when we've got an intelligence agency that is not truly serving the states, then we need to, and this is where the globalists get really concerned when they hear people actually making sense about why are they doing these things? Well, because it's serving them, not us. Everything in America needs to be properly aligned with the Constitution and the proper serving of the sovereignty, maintaining and protecting the sovereignty of the people and the states and the governments that we've created. This is why if we can get down, you start going down this path, everybody, Hong Kong, Taiwan, all of these nations, we could end the war and the military pressures that are being, look at, if we actually stopped spending money because we stopped fighting wars and we actually were able to allow ourselves to, you know, to become a free society, now we have new challenges. We'll actually have challenges that we've probably, unfortunately, have never had the opportunity to truly face and actualize, especially in a technological era. Because I'm telling you right now, with the way big tech is, big tech is our enemy, just like, unfortunately, governments are our enemies because they're the ones that kill us, monitoring us, spying on us, and they perceive us as the threat. This is how we've transformed from we being the essential, you know, they serve us, to actually we've become their subjects. We have moved from being the masters of our government and masters of business and so forth to becoming the subjects of all. And we're being shredded and actually torn in every direction, just like a piece of saltwater taffy. So with that little metaphor, when we come back on Friday, I'm going to cover where we've been on the curriculum and what we're going to be doing coming up in 2025. And I think you're going to be pretty excited because we didn't get to your the Organic Act, but we've identified it and it's coming up soon. And so we'll be working diligently in serving you so that you can actually start serving yourself and this self-governing system. I'm J.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, process. This is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.